chapter together. The work of God's hands. Sorry, Emmy, that was my fault. I did not turn my mic on. And that was my warning right there. We're looking at God's work in salvation and the incredible work, the theology of salvation, and what God has to say about it. You know, we can be wrong in a lot of doctrines and a lot of teachings, but we cannot be wrong in the doctrine of salvation. We're talking about our eternal soul, and it's so important to understand what the Bible says about eternal life. And in these next couple of weeks, we're going to learn what the scriptures have to say. John chapter 6, look at what the Bible says in verse 22. John chapter 6. And verse 22, it says, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that the disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place, where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. And the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, and also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I want us to notice the simple expression that Jesus gives to these Jews. In verse 48, he simply states, I am the bread of life. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would help us to understand your word. I pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding. And Lord, we know that the devil is real and he's a deceiver and he's busy blinding the minds of them which believe not. Lord, I pray you would help us to understand the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be excited of sharing your salvation to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say. I pray your spirit would guide and direct as we look at your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So often, the teaching of Jesus would use an earthly illustration to teach us a heavenly or spiritual truth. Now, parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Someone said that men are nailed to the things of this life, and oftentimes our focus is on the physical. And sadly, because of that, we often neglect the spiritual. Now, I understand this, tonight that we are indeed in the world, but if you're a Christian, you're not of the world. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 2, Therefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, that bodily exercise profiteth little. You should write that if you're going to a gym. Write 1 Timothy 4, 8 on everything. It profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The Bible teaches us to focus our attention on spiritual things. Now, we can talk about physical bread that meets a physical need, homemade bread, or, you know, all of those things are wonderful and have their place. But Jesus is not talking about physical bread in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about a spiritual truth. He's speaking about spiritual bread and that which will satisfy for all eternity. Someone said, here were people whose eyes never lifted beyond the ramparts of the world to the eternities beyond. In other words, their focus was only in this life. In the context of this passage of Scripture, if you remember our study on how to study the Bible, context is king. And it's interesting because Jesus had just performed two wonderful miracles in this scripture. He transformed the boy's lunch into a feast. He feeds over 5,000 individuals. And he perceives that they would take him by force and make him a king in chapter 6 and verse 15. And so the Bible says that Jesus departed into a mountain alone. He compels his disciples to cross toward Capernaum and to come to him. And the Bible says a great storm comes in their life. You know the passage of Scripture, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. I mean, it's an incredible time. The Lord Jesus has shown his power and his might. In verse 22, we see the day following, there's a great multitude of people. And this great multitude of people, in verse 24, they're seeking for Jesus. They want to see Jesus. And it's important for us to seek Jesus. And so they're looking for the Lord. And I want us to notice tonight, if you have the outline handy, number one, I want you to notice their search for salvation. Their search for salvation. Look what the Bible says in verse 26. It says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now, Jesus obviously knows the hearts of every person here, every individual watching the live stream. There is nothing hidden from God. He knows all about us. And the Lord knew why they were seeking him. And it wasn't for spiritual things. They were seeking him for physical nourishment, for food. And so Jesus said in verse 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat with which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him have God the Father sealed. Now, we sought the Lord. Our testimony, our salvation testimony is different. And our journey in seeking the Lord started out probably differently for each of us. And yet the meaning or the purpose or the reason why we started searching for the Lord is not as important as finding him. And Jesus said, listen, you're searching me not because you're interested in the miracles. You're not interested in my deity. You're not interested in my doctrine. You're just interested in a free meal. And so we notice, letter A, they did not have an eternal perception. Verse 27 clearly teaches us that. They sought earthly provision and not spiritual provision. They sought Jesus for the meat and not for the miracles. But we notice not only do we see they did not have an eternal perception, but they did not see God's eternal plan. Now notice what the Bible says, and it's easy to miss it. In verse 27, the Bible says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. By the way, as Bible students, we understand that the Lord, in each of these verses, is teaching a central truth. And all of it is coming down to the doctrine of salvation. He says here, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, look at this, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. The Son of Man is speaking of the earthly ministry of the Messiah. It is speaking of Jesus. And the Bible uses this incredible statement. It says, for him have God the Father sealed. And what that expression means is that Jesus is the Father's appointed. Jesus is the Father's eternal plan. That through Christ would come salvation. Through Christ would come eternal life. And so salvation would be made available through the Son of Man, through the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, let me read it to you. It says, 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. Corruptible things, now redemption is our salvation, and corruptible things are things that will not last. We're not saved by money. We're not saved by anything this world has to offer, silver and gold, or your vain conversations received by their traditions from your fathers. This is not the message of salvation, the way of salvation. But verse 19 says, but look at this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20 is important. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, I know it's hard for us to understand this, and it's hard for me to wrap my brain around it. But before God ever placed a star in the sky, Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the sent one. And he would come to die for the sins of the world. Before he even created humanity and God's eternal plan, Jesus was foreordained to be the Savior. I know that sounds crazy because our mind is not that vast to think beyond what we see here today, but God lives in eternity and he's not bound by time. And God saw everything unraveling within time and space. And before God ever created humanity, Jesus was the Father's sent one to die for our sins. But notice, number one, as we consider they did not see God's eternal plan, what did they see? Well, their appetite was for only religion. Notice their appetite for religion in verse 28. It says, then said they unto him. Now Jesus is giving them the gospel. He's giving them the way to eternal life. And so notice how they respond, verse 28. He says, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You know the difference between religion, and someone has said that religion is just humanity trying to approach God, and a relationship with God, or true salvation, Bible salvation, God reaching to man, is two simple thoughts. One is do, and the other is done. Religion says, do this, do that, do this, do that. And Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. The Bible says, verse 28, what shall we do? What do we have to do? What do we have to do to be saved? What do we have to do to gain eternal life? And this has been the song of humanity throughout the ages of time, because humanity craves to do something to inherit eternal life. I mean, it's really the Naaman the leper kind of attitude, right? He was furious when Elisha sent word to him that all he had to do was have simple faith in God. Go dip yourself in the Jordan. The reality is he wanted to do something more. He wanted more fanfare. He wanted more celebration, more event, more emotion, more of all of these things. And if it wasn't for the servant who simply said, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? If the prophet would have said, give $10,000 for salvation, we'd be going to the bank and drawing out the money. If we had to labor or to work, we would be involved in those things. But that's not the message of the Bible. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18. And I want us to look at this scripture because I think a lot of people get confused in the message of Jesus here. Luke chapter 18, would you turn there with me? In Luke chapter 18, and then we'll match the chapter in verse 18. The Bible says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." By the way, what Jesus is saying to this young man is, "Are you calling me God? Because there is none good but God. Are you calling me God? Are you recognizing my deity?" Verse 20 says, "Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, All of these I've kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Now remember, Jesus knows the heart of this individual. And Jesus knew that this man did not keep the commandments from his youth. He said, "Listen, if you're going to follow the commandments, and this is what you're going to have to do, I want you to sell everything that you have. Give up all of your riches and follow me." And the Bible says when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You see, he wasn't trusting in God for eternal life. He was trusting in his money. And the one thing that he lacked in his life is faith in God. Faith in God. Jesus was revealing this young man's heart. And we notice in the scripture here, their appetite was for religion. But notice the answer to their request. In verse 29 of our text, Jesus answered and said unto them, look at this, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." Jesus, they said, "What do we have to do? What's the work we have to perform?" Jesus said, "This is it. You have to believe on the Son of God. You have to believe. This is God's eternal plan." And it's given to us time and time again. Believe on him, the Savior of the world. Believe on him, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Believe, believe. In our world today, salvation is oftentimes manipulated and mixed up. But friend, listen to me. The Bible teaches us again and again that Jesus Christ is God's eternal plan to save a lost sinner. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. John chapter 14, verse 6, familiar scripture. Jesus said unto him, "How can we get to the Father?" Jesus said unto him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now that's clear. The way is the Lord. It's faith and trust in him alone. But wait a minute, it's not done. Number two, notice their search for a sign. In John chapter 6, verse 30, the Bible says, they said, "Therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What does thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now, I find this ironic because Jesus had already performed many miracles. And he had already proven his deity. I mean, they were blind to the spiritual truth that was before them. In verse 31, they say, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now notice, if we could, letter A, their idea of provision. Their idea of provision. They say Moses gave the children of Israel food in the wilderness. They said he fed them with manna. And they pointed back to what had been a comparable miracle in the life of Moses, Jesus feeding over 5,000 men, women, boys, and girls. And yet Moses feeding, or this daily miracle of the wandering Hebrews, and them receiving manna or bread to heaven. And here the Pharisees are like, why don't you do something like that if you're God? Why don't you? I get the idea that you fed over 5,000 of us. But if you're God, then why don't you duplicate that miracle? Why don't you feed us for 40 years? And then we'll believe that you're God. You know, it reminds me of Luke 16. When the rich man went to hell, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he rejected Jesus. And he said, go tell my brothers. And he said, if I, you know, if you would take Lazarus and resurrect him and he would be alive again, they would believe what he has to say. And Jesus said, listen, they have the messengers. They have Moses and the prophets. Someone being raised from the dead is not going to change it. It's faith in Christ. And here, this statement is really an insulting statement of unbelief. You do something greater than what Moses did. I want us to think about letter B there. Ignorance in this provision. Verse 32, Jesus straightens them out. He says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. It wasn't Moses that gave the bread from heaven. It was God through Moses that gave the bread from heaven. Let me tell you this right now, Moses did nothing. Moses was just a channel only. It was God working through Moses. Moses was an instrument in the hand of God, but it was God that performed the miracle that day. And so easily, you and I get our eyes off of the God of provision because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And sometimes we get our eyes on the material surroundings and people get their eyes on a denomination, or people get their eyes on things meeting their needs or satisfying them. And yet we have to understand tonight that it's only God that can meet our need. It is God who provides for us. We need to remember today that it's God that pays the bills. It's God that promotes. It's God who comforts and cheers. Oh yeah, God uses people. And God works through people, his servants. But at the end of the day, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. God was the one that served. God was the one that saved his people. John chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Remember this, salvation is God's work. You know, I think Kitchener Baptist Church is the greatest church in the world. But listen, we have never saved anyone. We can never save anyone. Because salvation is God's work. It is wrought in God. It is Christ and Christ alone. It is faith believing that he died for our sin and that he alone can wash our sins away. Salvation is the work of God. Thirdly, notice this, their search for satisfaction. Their search for satisfaction. So the Lord gives us a comparison of earthly bread and spiritual bread, the bread from heaven. The greater miracle, a greater miracle than feeding, you know, Hebrews for 40 years, the Bible teaches us this important truth. That a greater miracle than feeding God's people for 40 years as they wandered is feeding salvation to a lost and dying world, providing eternal life. Look what the scripture says, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. As bread was a picture of satisfaction and life, Jesus is the spiritual bread that would be broken for the world. And we notice in this scripture that the bread was desired. In verse 34, the Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." We need this bread. You have bread that satisfies you. You have bread that gives eternal life. We need that bread. Notice not only the bread desired, but the bread is described in verse 35. What is the bread? Jesus said unto them, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Jesus said, "He is what brings satisfaction. He brings eternal life. He is the one that satisfies that deep longing in the heart of humanity," because I believe with all my heart that all of us have a hole in our heart that only God can fill. And people are searching for satisfaction in religion and all these things, and they come short. And Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the only one that can satisfy. I'm the one that, if you take of me, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst." Religion can never satisfy. But notice, let her see, the bread is denied, verse 36. "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Ye believe not. You don't believe that I'm the Savior, the Messiah. You've rejected me. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often I've gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings." Look at this. "And ye would not." You've rejected me. You refused the bread of life. Notice the bread is devoted. The bread is devoted. Verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus said, "Listen, I've come to do the Father's will. I've come to complete God's, the Father's, eternal plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Jesus came not to fulfill his own will, but the will of the Father. And the Bible says that the Father has sent the Son, and those who choose eternal life, those who believe, by believing in Christ, then you are of the Father. The Bible says that you are given eternal life in verse 37. Look at our text here. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out." Those who come to Christ are a part of the family of God and are given eternal life. And those who come to Christ, no one will be cast out. They'll return, they will receive eternal life. Verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me," verse 40 now, "that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The only way that we can be reconciled to God is through the Son. And those who come to the Son are presented to the Father. And they are presented to the Father as spotless, without sin, because Christ became our sin and placed upon us his righteousness. And the Bible says that we have, verse 40, eternal life. And we are secure in Christ because he will raise us up in the last day. That's a wonderful verse, by the way. That's a powerful statement of eternal life, that we are in Christ. Fourthly, and I'll be done, their search for sight. Their search for sight. Verse 41, the Bible says this, "The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Here these Jews said, wait a minute. Isn't this Jesus that has a dad? Isn't this Jesus who has a mom? We know them, Mary and Joseph. I'm a neighbor of Mary and Joseph. Don't they have earthly parents? Why would Jesus say that he is from heaven? And this very key statement is important. Because all of the imagined difficulties and the startling symbolism that followed, and which so startled and horrified the Jews, as well as so many of the Lord's own followers, are resolved when we see what the Lord is equating here. He's equating believing and receiving with eating and drinking. Believing and receiving with eating and drinking. And the Lord makes a powerful statement. He says, first of all, I want you to know that salvation is of God. It says in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, I know that our Calvinism and Calvinists will take this verse and they'll use it in their own way and their own perception. But the Lord is teaching us an important message. What he's saying here is this: salvation is the work of God. It's not manufactured. You can't muster up enough strength and be a Christian. You can't live the Christian life. It's impossible. It's walking on water. It's a miracle to be a sinner and then to be a son, to be lost and then found, to be blind and then see. This is God's work. And this is what the Bible is saying in this passage of Scripture. The Bible is not saying that some are drawn and others are rejected, but God is saying here, listen, this is God's work. This is God's work. For 10 years of pastoring, I've heard lots of different testimonies when it comes to, are you a Christian? Someone said to me, well, I felt near to the Lord. One day I just felt near to the Lord. Well, the Bible says that the Lord is not far from every one of us. The Lord is near to us. God is near to us through Christ. Someone said, well, I felt God's presence, or I felt alive. I remember one woman said that she was in the middle of labor, and she just felt God so near to her. And I said, all these things are wonderful, but that the reality is, it really comes down to this. Has there been a time in your life where you acknowledged your sin, that you were separated from God, and you've turned to Jesus as the solution for that sin? That's a Bible salvation. It's not trusting your feeling. It's not depending on corruptible things. It's simple faith in Jesus Christ. We see the acceptance of eternal life in verse 51. Notice what the Bible says. Jesus makes it simple. He says in this scripture, he says, eat and drink. You know, normally under regular circumstances, if you go to someone's house and they prepare a meal for you, what would you do? You receive it. You eat it. And the Bible is using spiritual reference here that he is the bread. And this bread satisfies, but it must be received for eternal life. And to receive it is to have simple faith that he indeed is God's way for salvation. In fact, the Bible gives us the wonderful truth as it illustrates that he is the bread. It says that he that believeth on me receives the message, believes the message as the bread of life, hath eternal life. Trust in him to save you. And I love this, and don't miss it. Because as you trust in him to save you, Jesus said, and guess what? I will. I'll cast no one out. You take of that bread, you receive of that bread, and you will be saved. And this is not something that's manufactured. This is the greatest miracle of God. I know he raised the dead, and he opened blind eyes, and he made the deaf to speak and the lame to walk. But friend, listen to me. There was no greater miracle that night when I knelt beside my bed and asked Jesus to save me. And he did, and washed my sins away. And I was a sinner and became a saint in that very moment and had a home in heaven. That's the greatest miracle of God right there. And the same is true for you. And that's a Bible salvation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you would help us to be excited about it and to share it and to love it. Lord, I pray you would help us to glean some truths from the message, the Bible study tonight. And we thank you for what you will do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.